Straight Talk on WRHI and CN2 is brought to you by Founders Federal Credit Union. Relax, you're with Founders. Now here's Ashley Lang broadcasting live from Substation 2 on Cherry Road with Straight Talk.
Selected by the South Carolina Broadcasters Association as the state's top public affairs program.
And good Friday afternoon. Welcome into Substation 2, Cherry Road, across the street from Winthrop for another edition of our Straight Talk program presented to you by Founders Federal Credit Union. Relax, you're with Founders. And we want to thank our co-sponsor today, Comporium, your friendly neighborhood tech giant. And a special thanks to Piedmont Medical Center, a community built on care. And you can find out more about them at piedmontmedicalcenter.com. So I'm excited to be here on this Friday edition of Straight Talk. I have three guests with me today. I think this is the first time I've ever had three guests when I've tackled it. So bear with me. This is going to be a great conversation, though. We have some guys here from the Phi Beta Sigma fraternity. And we have two gentlemen from the graduate chapter and one from the undergrad chapter. Two attended Winthrop University. We have Reginald Brackett, John McCullough, and Mills Sharp. So welcome to Straight Talk. Of course, Reginald and Mills. Reginald, you were a part of the graduate chapter, and you attended Winthrop University. Mills, you are now a student at Winthrop University. Yep. And John, you were a part of this fraternity, but attended the University of South Carolina. So go Cox, go Eagles. I love you guys even more. So let's just jump right into it. Reginald, we'll start with you. Just kind of talk through and give us a brief history about the fraternity Phi Beta Sigma.
Okay. First, thank you for allowing us to be here today.
Yeah, really thanks for being here.
Appreciate it. Phi Beta Sigma is a fraternity that was founded January the 9th, 1914. Our motto is Culture for Service, Service for Humanity. Phi Beta Sigma has been a beacon of sunshine in so many communities, especially here in the Rock Hill community. We work cohesively with the undergraduate chapter, and we, as the graduate chapter, put on a lot of different community events. So Phi Beta Sigma has been around a long time.
Mm-hmm. And John, I'm gonna ask you this question because y'all were kind of giving me, and my husband was part of a fraternity, so I'm a little familiar with the way it works, but there's a difference between the fraternity itself and then there's also a foundation. So if you would kind of talk through what that means.
Absolutely. Again, thank you for allowing us to be here with you today. The foundation is a part of the alumni fraternity that Reginald just explained. We founded the Rock Hill Sigma's Foundation as a vehicle to allow us to raise funds and help us have an opportunity to expand our reach and our service reach within the community of Rock Hill and the surrounding areas. So it is a separate 501c3 nonprofit, and we are using that to present the type of programming that we're talking about today and also allows us to do additional service projects here in the community.
Okay, because when we hear the word sorority or fraternity, you know, a lot of times we think that these are mainly social organizations, which there is a piece of social that goes into this, but it's more about the philanthropic piece. And so, Mills, I'm going to start with you for this question, and then we'll turn it back over to Reginald and John. But why did you feel like it was important to be a part of a fraternity and the Sigma specifically?
Yeah. So I grew up around our very own Reginald Brackett here and just around a bunch of other guys that at the time I didn't know there were Sigmas. And so just seeing the way that they acted, I was like, I want to be like them, I want to be like them. And then I got to college, I realized there were Sigmas and I realized all of the service opportunities that were available through Sigma. And just the motto, Culture for Service, Service for Humanity, I think service is what a gift I got from the Lord, and so that's why I wanted to be a part of Sigma.
How long, don't slap that microphone, you're trying to get rid of that microphone, don't do that quite yet. How long have you been a part of the yes. Sigmas? And you can, if you want to, take a little bit of time, tell us about yourself, too. Okay. I know that you are a student at Winthrop University.
Yep. So I'm a Spring 25 initiate, so I was just initiated last semester. This will be my first full school year as a Sigma on campus. I'm going into my sophomore year. I'm a track and field athlete, and I'm from right here in Rock Hill, South Carolina, born and raised.
Yeah, well, congratulations. Yes. That's a lot to tackle as a second year college student. So congrats, you're doing a great job. And, you know, you're the kind of guy that us moms who have boys, you know, we want you, you know, to be that example. And I think you're great. And you're a great example of that, and everyone's going to be able to hear more about that when we get into the forum piece.
Yeah.
Reginald, why did you feel like this was something that you should be a part of? Why is it important to be a part of an organization like the Sigmas?
My mother was a teacher. My dad's a minister. And my mom, early on in when she was in college, she used to always talk about sororities and my dad was never in a fraternity. He said I was going to do it, but the Lord just didn't lay that on my heart.
The Lord had other ideas for your dad, right?
So when I transitioned from high school to college, and Phi Beta Sigma was, there was only two guys on campus, and I saw an opportunity after meeting those guys and talking with them. And so we, as a group of guys, said, you know what, this is an opportunity for us to kind of build something here on this campus. And so we followed their lead, and summer of 1987, going back into the fall of 1987, we chartered Phi Beta Sigma at Winthrop, and it's been history ever since.
Yeah. John, what about you?
Reginald likes to tease me about this, but 41 years of Sigma for me. And you're right, there is a social aspect to what we do, but that's the brotherhood piece. Even equally importantly is the scholarship and the service aspects of those three dimensions that we'll be talking about here today. So it's something that's really, again, coming from a family, father was a Mason and a Shriner in the community of Chester. Mom served in the church her entire life. So it's all we know is to serve and to give back.
Yeah, I love that. So let's kind of jump into that. Of course, the Sigmas do want to serve and give back. And there is an upcoming event. It is a gun forum that's mm-hmm. going to take place. It's going to take place at Clinton College. And I'm going to let John or Reginald, whoever wants to start with this question. First of all, why a gun forum? And where did this idea spring from? I know this is the second time we've done this. Just kind of jump in there. Why a gun forum?
Gun violence is the number one cause of death for youth in our state, in our community, and largely in our nation. And we could no longer sit idly by and wait for someone else to fix this. We wanted to convene a conversation. We wanted to get youth together with community leaders, with our police department, with our friends at NAMI Piedmont Triad Tri-County, Piedmont Tri-County, and really to sit down and talk about what are they facing, understand it from the youth perspective, and begin to have a conversational bridge to solutions. So this is our second attempt, and hopefully we'll stay an annual event, to convene a group of stakeholders to look at where we are today and hopefully find solutions to move us forward.
And when we say stakeholders, Reginald, who is going to be a part of this particular forum, and what has their reaction been to the Sigmas wanting to do something like this?
So we're looking at having NAMI. NAMI attended last year with us, and then we're looking to have them back. Matter of fact, one of the NAMI coordinators, Terrence Randolph, is going to be one of our speakers. They're also going to have a vendor as well. We're also looking at Palmetto Counseling. They're going to be in attendance, not going to be actual on the panel as speaker, but they will be in attendance. Veterans Affairs, she's going to be there. Not going to be on the panel, but we'll be there just to answer questions. We're looking at also having law enforcement, Rock Hill law enforcement, being a part of it. And we're also having a young lady out of Chester, John, Lieutenant Walker, who works for the York County Detention Center. She's going to be there. And we're also looking at also some testimonials, because there's been in our community as of lately. There's been a couple situations as it relates to guns causing people to lose their lives. So we're excited about the array of people that we're looking at attending the forum.
What are some of the topics or the questions going to be, and how do you come up with kind of how to jumpstart these kind of conversations? You know, when we talk about guns and gun laws and gun safety, it's a pretty pivotal conversation in our society. Mm-hmm. It can get very political. It shouldn't really be political, but it is. So how do you bring people together that are stakeholders, mm-hmm. and in order to really make a difference? How do you start with the planning of that?
You know, specifically, we're not debating policy. Mm-hmm. We are centering on understanding prevention and youth empowerment. Okay. So we are centering on the youth. We're centering on the youth on the issue from their perspective, and we're going to use that as a launch point to drive a conversation around what's needed to actually drive change. The summit itself is focusing on three areas. One is law enforcement's perspective on where we are with gun laws and what's needed to actually engage them safely, as well as not the guns themselves, but with the law enforcement arena and the community arena to engage safely in a conversation, in an age-appropriate, youth-appropriate conversation. In addition to that, as Reginald described, we'll talk about the mental health aspect of that, because we've learned that that's a pretty key component into a lot of these incidents that we're talking about and we've seen here. And then the third dimension of the conversation is going to be focused on the parents, understanding what their responsibilities are in helping to keep their children safe, but also help making sure that they understand what the laws and what the requirements are as well, right? To again, hopefully empower them as well to be able to engage in a conversational way on a difficult topic.
I'm assuming that before you go into an event like this, that you already have been meeting with the stakeholders. You know, you've been meeting with law enforcement. You've been meeting with parents who are going to give testimonials. You've been meeting with people like Robert White at NAMI, who is fantastic, by the way. We love him. So what are you hearing? What are you hearing from the stakeholders? What is so important that, and really, what is the ultimate goal of having the forum? What are you hearing from them?
Thank you for asking that question. And speaking of Robert White, I'm a part of a mental health task force, and we just so happened to have a conversation, several leaders, probably about a year and a half ago, and not knowing at the time that this is something that we were going to be putting on ourselves. Some of the questions that came up, and one of the young ladies, her daughter was talking about, "Mom, you know, I hear all the time about shootings, and I hear about all of these things, and hearing about someone dying." And this is a 10-year-old, 8 to 10-year-old that's asking that question. So as we began to generate conversation, and she was like, "I wish that there was something that, you know, we could do." And so it's so ironic that we had already been talking about it as a fraternity, and we have one brother that's just so passionate about this subject matter, so we brought the two together. So that conversation that was over there as part of the mental health task force, and then his passion, and then John came along, and when John was like, you know, we need to do this. So here we are.
Is this something that I know that the Sigmas are nationwide. Is this something that we, or not we, I'm not a Sigma, but the Sigmas are tackling all over, or are you seeing a problem everywhere, or is this just something here that is being tackled?
Well, considering this is in our community, mm-hmm. And this is where we live, that's why we have been so passionate about it. But to answer your question, I mean, I think that other Sigmas and other chapters around the country are definitely addressing it.
Part of kind of what you just said, and I'm assuming this could be part of the problem. I don't know if this is something that's going to be tackled in the forum, and if it's not, that's okay too. But just something to maybe think about. you know, we have 10-year-olds coming to their parents and saying, you know, I'm afraid I'm going to get shot, or I hear about people who got shot, or people are dying that aren't much older than them. Do you think that social media plays a part into this at all? Mills, why don't we start with you, since you are the youngest one at the table. Yeah. We'll kind of let you talk about that. Is that something that's going to be tackled at the forum, and do you think this is also something we need to be looking at when it comes to gun control, gun safety?
I'm not necessarily sure if it's going to be tackled at the forum, but I do believe social media is a big factor into why gun violence is what it is today. I think a lot of people get caught up trying to maybe impress people, and they want to show off guns, or they want to look like a certain type of individual. And so I think social media plays a big aspect into that. But I'm not sure. Reginald or John can speak more on it if it's going to be addressed at the forum. But I think social media is definitely a big factor in why so many kids may have access or may want to have access to guns, or why they use guns.
And in turn, do you think social media can also be used to maybe get the word out about, you know, dangers, or, you know, things maybe to look for? What are your thoughts there?
Yes. I think as much as social media can be used for bad things, I think it can be used for good things as well. It's just all about, you know, the way that it's portrayed, how many people are following it to an extent. Because if they want to be like that good thing, then they're going to try to be like the good thing. But if the bad thing has all the attention, or the bad influencers have all the attention, then the kids are going to attract to that. So it can definitely be used for good.
Reginald, I'll let you.
Thank you for asking that question, because if it was not a part of our agenda, it will be now. So that's great. And to Mill's point, social media can be a positive influence. Perfect example, being sitting here now with you, that's given us an opportunity to be able to tell people about what our intention is. So I think it's definitely can be a benefit.
And I think, you know, sometimes kids, and I have two at home myself, you know, that's, and we talk about adults. I mean, that's where adults are getting mm-hmm. most of their information. They're not going to the local television station. They're not going to us at the local radio station. Mm-hmm. They're going to social media. Now, they're coming to us because they're listening to us today. But that's not necessarily where they're going first. So I think it's so important. And I think so many of these issues are linked together. You know, you've got social media. You've got the mental health piece. You've got the gun safety piece. So I think that what a great way to maybe be able to reach not only the kids themselves, mm-hmm. But their parents or their guardians or their grandparents or their teachers. I mean, and that brings up a whole nother point. Who do you want to come to this forum? Do you want adults? Do you want kids? Do you want all community stakeholders? Who needs to show up to this forum?
Yes.
yes, and yes.
Yes. Obviously, we're targeting youth from the standpoint of the content of the conversation, but to participate in the conversation, we welcome the community. And so parents, guardians, advisors of youth groups, summer camps, church groups, advisors themselves, we welcome everyone at the event.
Okay. We're going to talk a little bit more about that here in a second. But with that, we're going to go ahead and take our mid-program break. We want to remind everyone that you're listening to Straight Talk live right here from Substation 2, Cherry Road, across the street from Winthrop, presented by Founders Federal Credit Union. Relax, you're with Founders. And thanks to our co-sponsor today, Corporeum, your friendly neighborhood tech giant. And of course, we don't want to forget Good Pharmacy, your hometown pharmacy for 60 years, Camden Avenue at Ebenezer Road. Okay, what we do right here at Substation 2 is fresh subs and salads 6 days a week from 10 in the morning till 9 at night. And those special ingredients, we want everyone out there to know what goes on in here. And it's right here on the t-shirt. On the count of three, we're going to say it together. 1, 2, 3.
Slice, slice, slice.
Garden, garden, garden. We'll be right back.
If it's 12:30, it's Straight Talk on WRHI
and CN2.
There are lots of reasons why people like dining at Substation 2.
Such distinguished people frequent this place. Enjoy that, and the food is delicious.
The salads are the best in town.
I'm Charlie Ruffalo, and I guarantee you'll feel the same way after eating here at Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop.
When disaster strikes, one of the most important things is getting life back to normal. A little compassion can go a long way. Paul Davis is here for you. Paul Davis is committed to handling any property damage with exceptional care, because what we do is about more than property. It's about people. We have the training and expertise necessary to completely restore your property fast. For all your cleanup and restoration needs, call the experts at Paul Davis Restoration at 329-1140 or find us online at pauldavisrockhill.com.
We know the type. You like to start early, finish late, make lemon squares, and make payments to the college fund from anywhere in the house. We know you rely on Comporium for the things you rely on most, like a view of the backyard. That's just a bunny, and hundreds of channels to watch whenever you want. So you may think of us as just your internet company, but we're more like the I didn't know they could do all that company. Comporium, always ready.
For four generations, Green Funeral Home has been Rock Hill's hometown funeral home. This is Frank Green. We have two locations to serve your family, downtown and the Northwest Chapel.
Go online to greenfuneralhome.net.
The Piedmont Medical Center Women's Tower at our Rock Hill campus boasts fully furnished labor and delivery rooms and family care suites. Our Level 3 NICU is equipped to provide advanced medical treatments for premature infants and infants who may have complications. Inside the Women's Tower, families begin bonding with their special deliveries in private family care suites, allowing mom and baby to relax with ease. Learn more at PiedmontMedicalCenter.com. Piedmont Medical Center, a community built on care.
Have you ever wondered why so many people enjoy dining at Substation 2?
Substation 2 is excellent. It's fresh. The buns just feel like they came out of the oven, and you can't beat the deli meat.
I'm Charlie Ruffalo, and I guarantee you'll feel the same way after eating here at Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop.
Straight Talk on WRHI FM 100.1 and CN2 is brought to you by Founders Federal Credit Union. Relax, you're with Founders.
And we are back here live at Substation 2, Cherry Road, across the street from Winthrop, and we are talking to the Phi Beta Sigma fraternity chapters. We have three guests today. We have Reginald Brackett and John McCullough, who are a part of the graduate chapter for the Sigmas, and then Mills Sharp, who is a part of the undergrad chapter right here at Winthrop University. So we've been talking all about the Sigmas and a little bit about your fraternity. It's, of course, a big piece of being a part of a fraternity is the philanthropic piece. And one issue that y'all have really tried to tackle is gun safety. And so to do that, you are having a gun forum that is going to be taking place. John, I'll let you give us the details for when the gun forum is actually going to be taking place. We haven't gotten into that yet. So
it's taking place next Saturday, okay. July 26th, 10 a.m. till 12 noon on the campus of Clinton College here in Rock Hill.
Okay, and say the times one more time.
10 a.m. to noon, okay. Saturday 26th, Clinton College campus.
And before we had to leave to go to break, I asked who needs to come to this forum. You know, all community members. We said parents. We said teenagers. African American. What? Anybody and everybody needs to be at this gun forum. Some things that we're going to be tackling are the mental health piece. Law enforcement will be there to talk about gun safety and laws, and then there's going to be a big focus on parents and what parents can be looking for or doing. So with all of that being said, how is the conversation going to go? Is it going to be more geared toward teenager, like young adults? Is it going to be geared more toward adults? What would you say to maybe a parent who's struggling with it? Is the conversation going to be age appropriate?
It will be age appropriate. You know, we are focusing on youth because youth are the largest group of individuals that are impacted from a day-to-day perspective. Of course, gun violence impacts everyone. It's a tragic, tragic situation. But we want to make sure that we are having a conversation around what should youth do if they're being engaged in a situation that they're uncomfortable? What's the next step? What question, what response should they make? We want parents to be able to say, hey, how do I have a conversation with my child if I suspect something is amiss? How do I engage them? What questions do I ask? So this conversation is really geared, again, around where we are as a community, how we can engage and have a conversation around what we need to do to move us forward. Again, emphasizing it's not about policy, and it's not about debating right or wrong. It's about really engaging our youth and putting them in a better situation.
Got it. Go ahead, Reggie.
As a matter of fact, we have an agenda that we're going to be looking at, and some of the key subject matters that we are looking at, keeping the community safe, partnering with law enforcement to prevent gun violence. We will have a law enforcement person to present that. We also have your mental health matters. Mr. Terrence Randolph with NAMI, he will be presenting on that. And talking about the parents, empowering parents, understanding and preventing youth gun violence. And we will have, I believe that's going to be someone from Palmetto that will be talking about that, Palmetto Counseling. And then something that John really added that I really like, and that is taking a pledge. That would be led by one of our fraternity brothers. And I think having that pledge, just saying that I pledge to do this, I'm going to make sure that I use these preventions, I'm going to use these interventions to keep myself safe, to keep our community safe.
Makes it more personal,
and
right?
It more
it's like
personal.
Taking a vow.
Yes.
And at that point, I think what I love about that is that that room, everybody who's in that room is now being held accountable to each other.
That's right.
And then you can be held accountable by the community. Mm-hmm. I think that's huge. And just think, you know, this is the second one, and so I'm assuming that we'll keep having these. This is an ongoing conversation. This is probably a conversation that we're always going to need to have. And each year, the hope is for it to get bigger and to have more conversation. So what a way for it to spark the fire to go out from there, right?
I must say, too, that, you know, when we had it last year, and it was really, really, really good, and I enjoyed all the subject matters. But that pledge, that was something, like, to your point, it was personal. To the point where we came home and my family, we talked about it. You know, different things that we need to pledge to do to continue to make sure that we're keeping ourselves safe, keeping our community safe. So it was very powerful.
Well, and that at that point, too, you're being proactive versus being reactive. You never want to be in a situation where you're going to have to give a testimonial. That's the whole point of what I'm assuming you want to combat. And so I think that's great. Mills, what would you tell people who are your age? Because we're kind of the old folks at the table. What would you tell people who are your age why this is important to come and be a part of?
Yeah. I mean, we're the next generation of parents. We're the next generation of young adults. And so why not be proactive instead of reactive, like you said earlier? I mean, we're going to be raising kids one day. We're going to be in this community. So why not take that step and not only be able to influence the people right now around us, but in the future with our kids and our communities, to be able to have that awareness, that knowledge to know how to handle these situations.
Yeah, and to know how to talk about these situations.
Yes, because it can be a tough conversation too.
And you can talk about it with peers. You can learn how to talk about it with peers. And then, like you said later, I love that you're thinking that far ahead, that you'll be able to have that conversation with your son or daughter one day. And hopefully this is nothing that they're going to have to face. Well, I told you this was going to go by fast. But real quick, before it's over, let's just give the details about the forum one more time, and if there's any social media or any websites people can go to for more information, go ahead and let's get that out as well.
Absolutely. Okay. Saturday, July 26th, 10 a.m. to noon on the campus of Clinton College. You'll likely be in the gymnasium there. Okay. Just come on the campus and ask for directions. And then from a social media perspective, please go to our Facebook page, Rock Hill Sigmas or Rock Hill Sigmas Foundation. There's an event that's creating on Facebook already. We have been publicizing that. They can register. We ask people to register. It's events free, but we ask them to register, but we understand how many people we prepare for.
All right, and that is a great way to end the program. Thank you all three for being here. Straight Talk is brought to you by Founders Federal Credit Union. Relax, you're with Founders. And Comporium, your friendly neighborhood tech giant. Now, one more time, we're going to tell everybody out there what makes Substation 2 so special in here. And it's by these special ingredients that we have on the shirt. One, two, three.
Slice, slice, slice.
Garden, garden, garden. Hope everybody has a great weekend, and we'll see you on the radio on Monday. Bye.